Hello. Can you hear me today? Well, it's good to be here again with you today. I prepared this at short notice. It's the subject of vision. And we're talking about our senses. And in a moment I shall read a couple of Bible readings. We think of ourselves as having five senses: vision, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting. Today we're going to be talking about vision, sight, seeing. Actually, there's lots of other senses. Have you ever heard of a sixth sense? The sixth sense covers about 30 others, actually. Now, there's a sense of balance, isn't there? Do you know the sense that someone's looking at you? And scientists have actually put out something between 30 and 40 different senses that we all have. So it's quite interesting. God has made us aware of many things. In many ways, and everybody has their own spectrum of awareness, and God intends it that way. God has given us physical senses that correspond to spiritual senses. I'm going to speak a little bit today about how our eyes on the physical sense can somehow reflect spiritual realities. So I'm going to let you contribute to this, because we're going to talk about some physical eye problems and see what they might teach us about spiritual realities. So let's read a couple of readings from the Bible. Luke chapter 11, I believe, is our first one. A few verses. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. And Jesus is talking to the crowds, and they've asked him for a sign. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus spent his life doing wonderful things, proving who he was, and yet the people say to him, "Show us a sign." Well, what had they not seen? And Luke 11, verse 33. "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar, nor under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, in order that those who enter may see the light. The lamp of your body is your eye. When your eye is clear, or single, or healthy," different elements of meaning are possible there, "your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you may not be darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it shall be wholly illumined, as when the lamp illumines you with its rays." So there's something about our eyes and what we choose to allow into our consciousness, into our body. And then if you would turn also to Hebrews, later on in the Bible, chapter 11, the great chapter about the heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about Abraham, a great hero of faith that we've spoken of before. And I want to pick out a few verses from Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 9 and 10, first of all, talking about Abraham. We know the bit about by faith when he was called, he obeyed by going out, verse 8, to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. And here's a clue, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then verse 13, talking about Abraham and some of his descendants, all these died in faith. Or talking about the people that he's already mentioned in the chapter. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So there's this patriarch, Abraham, living by faith, because he perceived that beyond physical realities, there was a spiritual reality. Beyond everything that he saw on earth, every structure, God has a corresponding structure in the heavenly realms, which actually we live in today. Did you know the book of Ephesians says we're seated in the heavenly realms? So there is a whole world, there's a whole new world out there, available and accessible to those with eyes to see. So I want to talk about different levels of vision today when I come to my application. Different levels of vision. What are we looking at and what are we looking for? And if I mention the term spiritual vision, what does that mean? If I say spiritual vision, what is spiritual vision? Here's a clue. Simon, a few months ago, saw a picture. What? Was he looking around the wall, the Lawn Community Centre? No. God showed him something in the spiritual realm that was relevant for Stephen. And God said to him, here's a picture, tell Stephen about it. And so he did. Today, we had testimonies, 1 minute testimonies, of people telling us what they saw, what they chose to notice as people came forward, describing what God's been doing. That's a process of choice. You spend 168 hours this week doing things. A lot of it sleeping, some of it eating, some of it talking. And all the time we're noticing things. We only take in a fraction of what we notice. Our unconscious mind takes it all in. But conscious mind, only conscious of a few things. Here's a testimony this morning while I was preparing this very sermon. Christine's away for the weekend at LL. So I'm at home, sorting out my own breakfast. So I Google, where can I find breakfast in Swindon? Beef Eater Restaurant, Junction 16, open from 7 o'clock in the morning for breakfast. Unlimited. I drive there, install myself. I go in. Would you like to sit here, sir? No, that's a bit dark. I prefer to sit where there's more light. So I sit in the window. Sunshine coming in, beautiful. I got my notes, my outline. I'm thinking, right, this is my time to fill in the details for my sermon that I shall preach on vision. After a while, I go for the coffee. And I'm queuing up, and there's a long delay. And the machine isn't working, and I'm looking, and the place is filling up, and it's getting more noisy, and large groups are coming in, and they're talking, and they're loud. And I'm looking at these groups of people, I'm thinking, what are you doing here? How come you lot have got enough money to pay for this? You see what I'm doing? Well, I'm choosing to see people in a certain light. In fact, I'm choosing to see people in a rather negative light. In fact, I'm choosing to place myself above them. You know, I deserve to be here more than you do. I'm preparing a sermon. You're just whatever. And then God says to me, now, what did I just say? God says to me, I don't talk in those terms, do I? God didn't speak to me and said, Stephen, listen to me, I've got a message for you. It's just that as I sort of was standing there thinking, what shall I do while I'm in this queue? I sort of just tune in to my heart and I think, well, let's just take a few heart-centered breaths and let's just see what happens. And I get this sense, Stephen, there's a different way of seeing what's going on. There's a different way of seeing people. And I start to notice there's families, and there's couples, and there's a large group. I'm thinking, yeah, they're all valuable to God. God must have a purpose for them. Even them. And I go back to my seat, and as I'm drinking my coffee, I look over in the large restaurant, and I pray specifically for that group there, and that table there, and that couple there, praying that God's will would be fulfilled, and that actually what they've not yet seen, because I assume that they're not as spiritual as me. Assume that none of them is preparing a sermon, or that none of them is celebrating something wonderful that God's done for them, and as an act of thanksgiving they come to eat together and enjoy one another's company and worship God. I assume that's not happening. Why do I assume that? Well, let's pray that it happens. So you see, I've chosen a different vision. I've chosen to see something else, to see people in a different light. And God doesn't condemn me for my lack of vision. He's kind of amused in a way, isn't he, that here's someone walking with him for nearly 60 years and still making the basic fundamental errors of not spotting what God's up to, but nevertheless able to start to tune into what God is saying. You know, the prophets in the Old Testament sometimes had the experience of seeing the word of the Lord. That's odd. Word of the Lord, that's about voice and words, so you'd expect them to hear it. But actually often they see the word of the Lord because God gives them some other kind of sensation, sometimes a picture, sometimes a feeling, sometimes a smell or a taste of his message. They see the word of the Lord. One of my challenges to you is to all of us, to me, more than you, is to choose what you're going to see. God's made us creatures able to choose. That's the glory and the horror of being human. We hear the horror of being human, what happens, what was put on the news this morning. And that's just a drop in the ocean. That's the item that the media chose to highlight. Did you know that something worse than that happens to Christians every week of the year? Several countries in the world, Christians have been systematically persecuted, annihilated, eliminated, genocide, but it never makes the news. Never provokes our Prime Minister to send a message of sympathy to them, because the governments of those nations are conniving with it. So I had a conflict as we were praying, rightly so, about that item of news. What was I seeing? And Susan was right on the ball, that, you know, it exposes our own heart, doesn't it, when we see things, when we hear things. And there's a challenge on every level to respond as God wants us to. So where am I going with this? I should come back to my notes sometime. Or should I? Should I? Tunnel. Well, yes, okay. And the eyes are the windows of the soul. You've heard that expression. And the Bible says so. The light of the body is the eye, and it determines the illumination that we allow into us. In fact, we are creatures of light. You may not know it, but you emit light and you absorb light. And when Jesus says you are children of light, you're sons of light, he's talking more than just metaphorically. And we actually carry light with us. it's probable that Adam and Eve were beings who emanated a huge amount of light before they fell, before the fall, before they disobeyed God, and kind of descended to the earthly level. They were accustomed to walking in the light of God. So tell me about some eye problems. What are some vision problems that we encounter as patients? Here I revert into the ex-doctor mode. Tell me about some eye problems.
Short-sightedness.
So cataract, I hear first. Cataract. Now, what's cataract about? The lens of the eye, which is designed to help us focus on things, gradually becomes opaque. The proteins in it become changed in their structure, denatured. And it becomes cloudy, and our vision becomes dim and cloudy. So there's the question, how clear is our vision? How dull are we when it comes to seeing spiritual things? How clear are we about what God is showing us? I confess that my vision is often quite dull. What's the cure for a cataract? Operation. What do they do in the operation?
Replace the lens.
Well, they take it out and they might replace it. There's different ways of doing it. Yeah. And it transforms their vision. So is your vision dim?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone who's got dim vision, spiritually or physically. So Lord, I pray that you will give clear vision to all of us, to acknowledge that our vision may be dim or cloudy, or we're not seeing clearly what it is you're showing. You know, one of the last promises Jesus made to do with healing was an invitation to the church at Laodicea. He said, you think that you're rich and wonderful, but actually you're blind and naked. He says, ask of me for eye ointment so that you will see. So Lord, I pray for eye ointment from you for all of us to see what it is that we're currently not seeing. And by the way, we pray for Russ, who is suffering from conjunctivitis. Lord, that you will bless him, that you'll touch his eyes physically, cause them to respond to, he's probably been prescribed an antibiotic, or his doctor may say, no, it's viral, you need to wait, so we won't give you an antibiotic. So anyway, Lord, we bless whatever he's doing. We bless his eyes, physically and spiritually, and will you enable him to be where you want him to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, what other eye problems? Short-sightedness. The short sight is another problem with the lens, in a way. I suffer from short sight. The lens of the eye acts too strongly. It converges the rays of light so that they meet before they reach the back of the eye, rather than meeting at the back of the eye. You have a nice, clear... So I sort of console myself that my short sight is because my lens is too strong. You know, I'm a man of strong lens. But here's the thing, if you're short-sighted, and I take my glasses off, I can hardly read a cornflake packet at arm's length. It says cornflakes, I can sort of guess that says cornflakes.
Oh, it's that big, isn't it?
Yeah, that's quite big. In fact, I qualify for a disability. All my life I've wished I qualified for something. A few years ago, the short-sightedness in one of my eyes was 9.5. That's close to 10. But because I've got a degree of astigmatism, which is to do with seeing that way and that way, they sum up to 10.25, so I get 3 prescriptions. That was before I reached the venerable age of 60, when I get 3 prescriptions anyway, and a free eye test. So, short sight. Yeah! Now, there's a corresponding condition called long sight. Anyone suffer from long sight? No?
Yeah.
You know, short sight, basically you see what's close, but you can't see what's distant. Long sight is the exact opposite. You can see what's distant, but you can't see close. And it's people who suffer from the short arm syndrome. Oh, my arm's too short, I can't see it. Do you know that the short-sighted people and the long-sighted people need one another? Do you know that? Some people are, when it comes to psychology, some people are big picture. Some people see the big picture, the distant goal, the purpose. Some people see the detail. and they're working out this and this. And do you know we need each other? Which of you is a detail person? Yeah? And which of you is a big picture person? Well, we need one another. So I will defend. Each man is my brother, each man is my friend. We need one another. So, but here's the thing. If you're short-sighted, what did I have in my coffee this morning? Thing is, spiritual vision. There is a pathway, there is a process. And some of us may be getting hung up with the detail and missing out on God's bigger call. I don't know who I'm speaking to here. Or some of us may have high visions and ideals, but actually we're doing nothing to bring them into reality. Not taking the next step, which is necessary. So if you've got a calling on your life, and God's shown you something, are you taking into account the steps you need to do now, but not losing the big picture as well? I don't know if that's talking to anyone. Or maybe you need to talk to someone who's got a different perspective and see what you can learn. Or maybe ask, let's ask one another. You know, I'm always aware whenever I speak that there's areas of blindness in my life. I'm blissfully unaware of something that I'm doing or saying, and other people are noticing it, and I need to hear it. We can delude ourselves. Useful being married, isn't it, for that purpose? Husbands and wives can sometimes provide us with an appropriate challenge. Any other eye problems?
Double vision.
Oh.
I was born with squints as well. So you can
squint and double vision. When the two eyes are looking in different directions, and Barry had this too, didn't he? A problem with the coordination of the two eyes, the muscles that work the eyes. And there's a whole science of eye movement and eye muscles and the nerves that feed the muscles, which can be damaged. And it's a medical emergency if you suddenly develop double vision. You need to find out why, what's caused it. And Jesus talks about double vision in our passage. First passage we read in Luke 11. He says, let your eye be single. In other words, here's the challenge. In how many directions are you trying to look? Are you being distracted from God's big purpose, God's big pathway? It's interesting that in this passage... what I want to say is that in the parallel passage which comes in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, when there's a similar teaching, Matthew chapter 6 verse 20 to 23, it's saying the same thing. The lamp of your body is the eye. If your eye is clear or single, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. But just before that verse, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the thing that we spend most time thinking about, admiring, accumulating, looking at, looking for, is a sign of where our heart is. And it's interesting that that's the verse just before this verse about vision. And again, the one after. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So in this passage about vision, interesting, Jesus talks about money, and he talks about what we treasure most in our heart. So in a way, our money is a clue to our vision, clue to our spiritual vision. What are we doing with our money, and what actually are we focusing on with our money? Interesting. Double vision, yeah. It's troublesome and it needs treatment. Maureen.
Floaters.
floaters. You know, God gave me an answer to a prayer a few months ago. I prayed to him, Lord, please let me see better. Let me see in the spirit. And bless him, he knows best. A couple of days later, I get floaters in my left eye. Really troublesome. I thought, what's this spider doing in front of me? And actually, once floaters start coming suddenly, again, that's a medical thing that needs sorting out quickly. So I rang an optician and I got seen the next morning in Marlborough, and they do all the tests and puff in your eye and all that horrible thing, you know. And they said, no, it's okay, there's no problem. But floaters, yes, distractions. Yeah. Things that can float. And you know, the way to deal with a floater, provided that you've been reassured it's not dangerous, is to learn to ignore it. But yeah, distractions in our Christian life, it's so true. Yeah. Any other?
Glaucoma.
And glaucoma is basically when there's too much water inside the eye, and it can be either under high pressure, which is really painful, intensely painful and red, and can cause blindness if it's not treated, or the low pressure glaucoma, where the water is gradually pushing out other stuff and replacing what should be there. So too much pressure. I thought about that one, and I thought of Martha and Mary. Jesus said to Martha, only one thing is needful. Martha, you're distracted. You're pulled, literally, you're pulled in many directions. And are we being pulled in many directions when God is asking us to focus on one main thing? So yes, glaucoma, the pressure. Well, we can be under a lot of pressure. And when we're under pressure, of course, we don't see clearly, do we? And then again, to ask God to show us clearly. And that's a very scriptural prayer. Psalm 119 says something about, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. So often the way that God speaks to us is through the Bible, showing us something wonderful, opening our eyes to see something new. And that passage this morning on in Hebrews, as I was sitting there reading that passage, my heart was really stirred up, and I thought, this is something I really need to focus on this morning. That passage in Hebrews, the challenge again about Abraham. He was sustained by a vision beyond his own circumstances. He perceived that in everything God led him, there was a bigger picture, or there was a spiritual purpose, or there was a spiritual equivalent that he needed to focus on. Any other eye problems?
Retina.
Ah, there's the retina. It's the back of the eye, which is actually regarded as a part of the brain, because it's got something like a million cells arranged in layers, a bit like the brain is. And retina, a condition called retinal detachment, which suddenly peels off the back of the eye, that's an emergency. And there's various conditions where it can degenerate because of diabetes or because of high blood pressure or because of too much cholesterol. And it gets sort of clogged up. The blood supply doesn't get to it. So our lives can be clogged up with things that are unnecessary. And then our vision becomes cloudy or unclear. Yeah.
Colour blindness.
Yeah. Not usually debilitating.
Oh, yeah.
But depends what you try to do.
Yeah. One of the solicitors where I used to work, he could not distinguish between red and green. And if he had a plan on a map in a document, he had to call someone in to tell him which was which.
Yes. And you know, colour blindness is a man thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
And red-green is the communist. But yes, as Christians, we're sometimes colour blind. sometimes I have this picture of, no, I don't get pictures, I have this mental concept that some Christians in some denominations or some systems of thought, they've got one particular idea, one particular doctrine of Christian truth, which for them is everything. And for me, it's like someone who's discovered the colour green. Ah, oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? There's olive green and there's viridian green.
Emerald
green. Sap green. All sorts of green. And they've completely missed out the point there's many other colours as well. And then meet someone who's enamoured by the shades of red, you know, crimson and scarlet. And they just come, well, no, green's the thing. No, red's the brilliant colour. No, green's the colour of life. No, red's the colour of passion. This is what's all about. And so on. And it's a shame, isn't it? So I think there's a challenge there, colourblindness. Yes, it limits our scope. It limits maybe what God can do with us. But I don't want to stress that too much. I want to stress what we can do with the ability to see that God's given us. So colourblind is another one, yes.
Ocular migraine.
Ocular migraine, yeah. Yes. A headache involving vision as well.
Well, my dad used to get, he didn't get a headache, he just got like tire tracks going in front of his eye. Vision.
Yes. Yes, funny enough, I had that once when I was alarmed and I went to the hospital and they said yes. I didn't have a headache at all, I just had this wavy vision.
Yeah.
Instead of ocular migraine. Nice. So vision can be affected by all sorts of other things. Mm. It's very true. Mm. Hence we need to concentrate on it and make sure that it's habitually in the right direction. Like a compass needle always points to north. If we habitually keep our vision in the direction that we choose and that God asks us to, then when we get drawn aside from it, hopefully we're going to come back to it by our instinct and our custom. I guess that's what I might think about that one. Oh well, I suppose I should not prolong the agony too much. Was there anything else? Cortical blindness. That's when there's nothing wrong with your eye, but the brain simply is incapable of interpreting what you see. Cortical blindness, because the cortex, which is the thinking bit of the brain, is not working. Because you've got a big part of the cortex which is devoted to vision.
Hallucination.
Yeah, that's a good one. Seeing things that ain't there. Yeah.
Nightmare.
Well, myopia is short sight. But
there's one that looks apparently like you can, in the dark, it looks like it's raining in front of your vision.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're coming on to the rarities. And there's all sorts of visual field losses where you can lose the bottom half or the top half or one side or
tunnel vision.
Yeah. Tunnel vision, you know, that's the first one I wrote down actually, because sometimes we can be so narrow in what we see that we're missing out on a huge amount. In fact, that's one of the best relaxation techniques, is to when you're sitting, look a little bit up and simply allow yourself to notice what's happening at the sides. And actually, that has a relaxing effect. Interesting. Mm.
Yeah. Is that without moving your eyes?
Yeah, gazing upwards and forwards, which is a very scriptural thing to do, by the way. Often it says, they lifted up their eyes and saw, or I lift up my eyes to you in the heavens. And here's another thing. When you're searching for something you remember and it's something you saw, we tend to look up to one side or the other. When we're searching for something we hear, we tend to look sideways. Interesting. When you're searching for something that you feel, we tend to look down one side or the other. It's all sorts of... The science of eye movements is just amazing. God has put a huge amount in the eyes to teach us all sorts of things. It's incredible. What else? Glaucoma, cataract, diplopia. Oh, foreign body. With this I finish. Foreign body in the eye. Ah, the first patient I ever saw in general practice. some sort of foreign body in the eye, this bit of dust, and what we have to do is flip up the upper eyelid, and then you can probably see it, and then you put a cotton bud, you whisk it off. Then you're supposed to put some dye in the eye that illuminates with a special light to see if there's been a scratch or not, and so on. Foreign body in the eye. You know, Jesus taught a parable about a foreign body in the eye. The log and the speck. Let me help you. You've got a little speck in your eye, but you've got a huge log in your eye. So I like that one. Whenever I notice something wrong about somebody, if I'm tuning in to God, he usually shows me there's something in me that is corresponding to this fault that I've noticed in someone else. So let's wind up. I want to pray a prayer for all of us, dedicating our vision to the Lord again. And hey, let's stand up, shall we, to make this prayer. We'll make it another event, another prayer event. Yeah. Stand up if you can. Is this not a compulsion but an invitation? We're standing in the presence of the Lord. That was one of the ways the prophets in the Old Testament operated. They stood before the Lord.
Thank you.
And as they stood before the Lord, God showed them stuff. So Father, we stand before you as a community of people. We thank you for the glorious miracle of vision that you've given us eyes to see. And Lord Jesus, when you are on earth, you complain that people had eyes and they did not see. Yeah. And we surrender to you our eyes, the eyes of our body and the eyes of our heart, yeah, the eyes of our spirit. And we say, Father, will you clear our vision? Will you cause us to be passionately seeking things that are your purpose, looking for signs of your activity, looking of ways to bless people, looking in the light of your light, so we see people in the light of your purpose for them, and not in the light of how they might be obstructing our personal progress or life. And Father, I want to pray a prayer of confession for all of us, Lord. We acknowledge that we've not used our eyes always for your glory. We've allowed ourselves to be distracted. We've allowed ourselves to look in two directions. We've allowed ourselves to shut our eyes and not look for what you're showing. And we repent and we say, Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you're always willing to lead us forward. And today we dedicate our vision to you once again, that we may see with your eyes, that we may see what the Father is doing and then do the same as Jesus did. And that we may see that city that you've built for us, that eternal rest which guides us and which gives us a long-term vision. And open our eyes to see the pathway that you have chosen for us. So the path of the righteous is to be illuminated. It's like a light that God shines his light on. Sometimes he only shines the light on the ground where we put our foot for the next step. And sometimes he gives us a clearer vision of the future. So, Lord, we dedicate our eyes to you. And those who see visions and those who remember their dreams, Lord, we pray you will make explicit the message that you're giving. And may we pass it on to one another and listen to what you're saying as we hear the word of the Lord. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.